You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, everybody, what's cracking? It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. We're back. It's Wednesday. It's June 29th. The NBA season is over. Draft went down last week. I can't even say his name. Paolo is number one. Shocking everyone.
Banchero.
What is it? How do you say Paolo what? Banchero?
Banchero.
Banchero. He's like one of these foreign tennis players. I just can't pronounce any of their names.
Well, you better get familiar, all right? Because he's going to be around for a while.
He's going to be filthy, right? Adam and TJ, the guys are here. What's up, fellas?
Good to be back.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink. You know the routine.
I know, but I don't wear pink on Wednesdays.
Well, I mean, you're kind of anti-fun.
I'm definitely not anti-fun. I've never actually seen Mean Girls, to be honest.
Okay. Well.
Is it worth watching?
I think you can get through your life without it.
All right, that's good to know. Okay, we're here. There's a lot going on, really, for it being kind of the end of the year. Free agency starts in a couple of days, so all kinds of rumors and all of that news is kind of going on, where guys might sign, potential trade situations. The NBA salary cap is going up about $11 million. It's going to hit nearly $124 million. We'll see how that affects things. We got John Wall, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving news. We got media beefs with young players and the old heads. Like, where do you guys want to start today, Adam?
You know,
TJ, what do you think?
Let me just, before you start, Adam, it was just like I'm sitting here thinking, man, we ain't got nothing to talk about before the show. And then you said all that. I'm like, holy crap, there is a lot to talk about.
Kind of a lot going on.
We do have a lot. So, go ahead, Adam.
It's great how the NBA has kind of turned into the NFL in that regard, where the news just kind of just continues and cycles through the offseason, the non-playing season. You know, Summer League is coming up in a couple of weeks. It'll be great to see these rookies out there and some of these second-year players, guys trying to make teams. Where do you want to start, Adam? What do you think?
Let's talk about the media.
You want to talk beef?
What's beef, TJ? What's beef?
Beef is when you need two gats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the street. Beef is when I see you guaranteed to be in ICU. Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls.
Is that going to get us flagged on YouTube?
I don't think so.
I am so, like, confused by all of this.
Why? What do you mean?
What's confusing?
Why are you confusing?
Well, first of all, Adam, you got to tell the people.
Set it up. Explain what's going on.
Okay, so there have been a couple of beefs on social media between one Kyrie Irving and Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
And then another between Russell Westbrook and Skip Drip Bayless.
And dripping, drip, drip.
And then Kevin Durant just beefs with everybody.
And Kevin Durant just beefs with the guy that has five followers in his basement. That's who Kevin Durant beefs with.
Okay, so what is the Kyrie thing? Because I saw that Stephen A. wrote this super long response or something, and I think I missed the original comment. What was it that Stephen A. said that kind of pissed off Kyrie?
Yeah, well, Stephen A. essentially was calling out Kyrie. For at the end of the day, Kyrie, of course, took the money. He did the sign-in with the Nets. And essentially, summarizing it, but he was essentially saying that Kyrie was trying to be Mr. Tough Guy and find a sign and trade and threatening the Nets. But at the end of the day, of course, he was going to take the money.
Oh, so it was all just kind of for act, like, oh, I'm going to go to the Lakers or the Clippers or whoever, Miami, Philly. And then it was, no, obviously I was going to take the $37 million and just run it back, right?
Yeah, and he was also saying that Kyrie, at the end of the day, Kyrie needs to come to work to earn his money. He needs to come to work. He can't be so privileged to think he can't show up on the job. He needs to play next year, and he called him out on that. And Kyrie essentially snapped back at him, saying that guys, he doesn't know guys in his 50s that talk like that, like Stephen A. I didn't really understand fully what he was trying to say. But then Stephen A clapped back at him and he said, like, you can't, essentially tell me what to do. I don't care what you or your dad thinks. I respect your uncle, Rod Strickland.
Oh, right.
And then he invited him on to a debate on one of Stephen A's shows. So it's kind of fascinating now how you have the Stephen A's and the Skip Bayless's. These guys are huge personalities in sports. And because of social media, now they're bigger than ever. You know, when we were growing up in the 80s and 90s, obviously there were big sports writers and personalities, but nothing like now where they can have the impact. And so I think players really take stuff personal now and get offended and think that their legacy could be ruined by a media figure. And it's to me, it's interesting to see that now.
Yeah, TJ, when we were growing up, it was like SportsCenter anchors, guys on the Sports Reporters, which is early Sunday morning on ESPN.
And SI writers.
And then SI writers. And the thing is like, unless these guys wrote for Sports Illustrated or appeared on one of these shows that didn't really exist. I mean, Sports Reporters was literally like the only one.
That was national like that, yeah.
You had no idea who these people were because unless you lived in that city, then you maybe read them in the newspaper, but you just had no exposure to these guys. And now kind of social media and everyone's got their own platform. And they're also, look, I mean, I do it here from time to time too. You're also kind of doing the thing. Like you're doing the TV. You're kind of making TV. You're kind of just like, you don't really believe what you're saying. You're just trying to kind of get people to call in or get some comments on YouTube or whatever. And also maybe just like get through a 12-minute radio segment and television segment. And so I totally understand that. And maybe, you know, maybe these players don't really get it, but I don't understand how could they not get it? Like, how does a guy like Kevin Durant or even Kyrie Irving, who thinks they're so smart, like, how do they not understand what these guys are doing? Like, why do they get so mad, TJ?
That's a great question, man. It's just like some people don't like people talking to them or thinking that they can talk to them any way that they want to. Like, I'm kind of like that person. I don't really go around and trash talk people. Like, you know, if you know anything about me and my history and the people I'm friends with, like I'm just the type of person who, like, anyone will tell you I'm pretty easy to get along with. And we work together, so you might have a different perception because obviously people have different work selves than outside of work selves. Sure, I try to kind of stay the same in both areas, but obviously a little different at work than you are maybe out with your friends. And a lot of times, you know, you find these people who want to get online and just talk crazy about you. And some people have the ability, like you, I think sometimes you have the ability to either not even look or not care what someone says.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
I have the ability sometimes to laugh it off and then bring it up to a point where, like, you and Rachel sometimes think I have a problem with it. It's like, no, sometimes people want attention. I'm going to give you the attention you want. And I do it because, one, I'm pretty good at trash talking. And two, it's like if I can make you look dumb after the things you said to me, then it's just something that I like to do, right? But I think with Durant, I understand why he does it because I think he's like that type of personality too. It's just like, you're Kevin Durant, bro. Like,
you don't have to say anything to anybody.
No. But I'm saying he's Kevin Durant. And if you know anything about basketball, I don't care what anyone like tries to slight you. That dude is easily top 20 of all time,
in my
opinion, right? Sure. So it must be, he must look at it sometimes like, how are you going to try to disrespect my game? And he can't like let that slide. And I get it. Like you want to say, oh, you weren't the bus driver or, oh, you joined Golden State. But the fact of the matter is he was the best player on those two teams on either side of the ball, right? So in a way, I guess I kind of get it. Like, who are you to talk to me like that? And I'm just saying maybe that's what Kevin thinks. But in the big scheme of things, he should probably take the LeBron route, right? everyone's got an opinion on LeBron. You know, and people try to disrespect, and they always talk about the LeBron stands while never really acknowledging, like, the LeBron haters. Now, talking about Skip, you know, he's got this thing going on with Russ, which I think, Adam, you're probably going to get to this. And then he tells Westbrook, well, if you don't like what I said, come on my show and debate me. Like, who is that going to benefit? Right. That's not going to benefit Russell. Even if Russell Westbrook goes on there and flames Skip Bayless, all that's going to do is get Skip's social numbers up and his show numbers up. Right. So he's going to be doing him a favor.
Exactly.
So maybe these guys should look at these situations like LeBron and be like, I am so above all of this. Right. Why would I? And Kevin likes to call himself the God and say, why would a God, like, yeah, treat yourself as such and don't, like,
And that's what I was totally going to say. We saw it earlier with
Nick. And I'm sorry, I think maybe I took a long way around to get to that
totally
point.
It's totally fine, because I was going to say the same thing, Adam. Like, these players fall into these guys' trap that they set for them. Skip Bayless, Nick Wright, Stephen A. Hey, I'm going to say some shit about you, and then you're going to respond, which validates the BS that I just said about you. Yep. And then when you make fun of me, I'm going to be like, well, you're open to come on my show and debate me anytime. Mm-hmm. Platform's always there. Why would they do that?
It's stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's their ego getting the best of them. And maybe in a subtle way, they also want attention in a weird way. Maybe Westbrook wants the attention. It doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, I'm looking at the tweet from Skip Bayless. He said he'll fit. He was talking about the Lakers' second round pick. He said he'll fit right in with LeBron and Westbrook. People have called Russell Westbrook this entire year. That's been a thing. It was happening at games.
Been a thing.
He got pissed about it at a game. It's the off season, Russell. Like, why would you even respond to that? Like you guys both just said, the attention of that tweet. I guarantee Skip Bayless got so many more new followers from doing that tweet and Westbrook retweeting him. And so much more attention, because it is, like you guys said, it's just a trap. And these players are stupid for responding to these guys. It's just a stupid move from them. They can't win. And it's just bad news. And these guys will continue to do this until the players stop responding. That will just be a thing. Well, they'll always call these guys out.
Again, I'm not going to say it's stupid, because I think I kind of just explained to you, like, some people just, it's the way you grow up. Like, you can't talk to me any way that you think you can talk to me. And, yeah, it might be beneficial to the other guy. But the fact of the matter is, like, it's just, you're not going to change people.
Yeah,
like,
but if Russell Westbrook cared that much, he wouldn't post it on Twitter. He would actually call Skip Bayless or talk to him face-to-face.
Not because I think Russ doesn't really care about Skip. Like, Russ just got $47 million. He's singing Beyonce songs in his car and just living life. Like, I don't think
he cares enough to respond to that tweet, though.
Yeah, but how long did that take?
It's not about the time,
a minute
though.
Out of his day, and then Russ is off doing Russell Westbrook things.
Yeah,
so.
but TJ, it's no, but we talked about that last week.
He's
It's not about the time. It's not a time commitment. It's a mindset. It's why would you even respond to this, knowing what's going to happen with this?
Yeah, everyone's built differently, and not everybody responds. Like, I'm sure people talk trash to Tom Brady, and he's out there just posting dumb underwear. You know what I mean? It's everyone has a different attitude toward.
Yeah, trash
social
talking.
Media and trash talking.
I'm not
going to
say it's stupid. I'm just saying, maybe LeBron has the right idea. LeBron doesn't respond. He does his tweets. He says, and he'll, like, you know, throw, like, oh, hey, the haters will say that the king is washed. And he'll, like, kind of let you know, but he's never going to, like, give you that spotlight to be like, hey, Chris Brockman, I saw what you specifically said.
Yes.
He's just not going
to
do that, Bond, you know?
LeBron.
But, you know, a lot of it, it's just. You know, we also have this argument going on with new media against old media with NBA
that's
players.
A thing now.
And we've talked about this before, how it seems like football and baseball, the old school guys don't normally get into it as much with the younger cats the way basketball players do. And we can't, for whatever reason, understand why this is the case.
Why is it a basketball thing? Because, like, you don't see, like, Joe Montana's, like, our era of NFL is better. Like George Brett. Our era of baseball was better.
Would it be better, though, if Joe Montana finally said, yeah, you give Tom Brady all this hype, but, you know, if I would have had... Actually, there's nothing really Tom had that Joe did.
like, NFL free agency, the way it is now, it was actually easier during those guys' times to kind of have a dynasty.
Yeah, because free agency and moving didn't exist. It was like you got drafted and you stay with that team.
But it was easier to re-sign your own players, whatever, yeah, whatever. But
it's, you're right. It's weird. Football players don't do it. Baseball players rarely do it. It's a basketball thing. And
maybe because in general, basketball is more of an individual sport. Like, I'm just theorizing here. Maybe that could be it. Or because... because the game has evolved so much, maybe that. I feel like football, obviously football has definitely evolved since the 80s, for example. It's definitely evolved. But I feel like basketball has evolved even way more since the 80s. So maybe it's the distinct difference in style of play could make a difference. I don't really know.
I don't think there's any debate to like today's NBA players are more athletic, better conditioned. Like they're just superior.
But are they better basketball players?
Yeah, see, I don't know about that.
Of course, they should be more athletic because it's like evolution happened.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
saying I believe in evolution, but like just as a man, like I've said this before, Wilt Chamberlain, if in the 60s Wilt Chamberlain was 7'1", 280, you just have to imagine that if Wilt Chamberlain was in his prime right now, he'd probably be Boban. So he'd probably be 7'3", like 290. And, you know, just like guys right. would just be bigger and – I don't know, man. It's very weird, man. It's weird.
I actually think a lot of it has to do, and this is a generalization, but I think a lot of it has to do with the guys from the 90s are just weirdly jealous of how much money these guys are making.
And it's kind of understandable.
Like, did we talk about that last week?
I think we touched on it. We played the salary game with a few guys.
When you got a guy like, look, just like the fourth best player on a team making 25 plus million, that's more than some of these guys from the 80s made in their whole career.
But you could say the same for football also, though.
Most definitely for football.
But also, I guess the counter to that is however low it is, because it is a low number that the guys back in the day made, they were still at the top of that financial chart, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, whatever they were making, it seems small compared to what today's guys are getting.
But they were still number one
when it terms of their contract. It's just that those numbers were so low compared to what we're looking at right now. Is it jealousy? I don't know, man. There's definitely something. There's definitely a disconnect. When you got guys like right now, you know, the big thing is we had Shannon Sharp and Richard Jefferson getting into it. That was a little cross-league back and forth that went on that looked to be squashed pretty quick. I don't know if you saw that. Shannon basically said Richard was lazy in his job because Shannon had to know a little bit. Basically, Shannon essentially equated himself to being a jack of all trades, but a master of none. Like, I have to know a little bit about this, and this as a daily sports show host. Whereas he was saying Richard only really has to know basketball because that's all he talks about, which he has a point. He does have a point, but to call him lazy was wrong, and Shannon acknowledged it, that he was wrong, and he apologized, and I think so that beef squashed. But you've got this whole Draymond and Perkins thing going on now, and
what was that?
This is getting like, this is getting out of hand,
man. Perk had to delete a video?
I'm not really familiar with it.
Deleted a tweet?
Well, basically, you know, I've never looked at Draymond Green's podcast. I know it's wildly successful. He was doing it after the games during the playoffs, but apparently, you know, he and Draymond had some back and forth going on, but it got really personal lately where, you know, Draymond is talking about guys like Perk who like should know better than to say the things they say. And he called him something, which I don't want to get into, so I didn't have to really like break this down, but he called him something that definitely one brother should not be calling another brother. Okay. And especially one who I don't really think is doing the things that Perk is accused of doing. He's a guy who like sometimes like we I think overall we like Perkins, right?
For sure.
There are definitely times he says stuff and I'll come and I'm like, what is Perk talking about? But overall I see where Perk's heart is at, and the guy does have that ring. And
he
that
does.
Gives you kind of privilege to speak. So I don't know. He and Draymond have this thing going on, and it got personal, and Perkins kind of, you know, he let some F words fly, and it was probably something that you know, Mickey Mouse was like, no, and that's probably why the video got taken down. He was dropping a lot of F-bombs. He was just kind of being Big Perk from, you know, if we're just hanging out but yeah, man, it's really weird how this happens. Just I have no explanation.
It doesn't really make any sense, because like in the end, shouldn't these guys all the only thing they should really care about, right, is promoting the league and kind of pushing the league forward and what's good for the NBA. Like,
you would think so.
But now it's all about personal brand and kind of helping set up their post-career stuff. Like, Draymond Green is obviously going to be on the TNT set, mm-hmm. right?
For
and,
sure.
And so it just doesn't...
But is he, like... What are you going to do? Add another guy to team? There's four.
Barkley will retire pretty soon.
Chuck said he's retiring soon.
He'll replace Charles.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what won't happen, though. He won't replace Charles.
You won't replace Charles? Draymond, though.
There is no replacement.
Yeah, you are a big Draymond.
You are Draymond. You guys, there is no replacement for Charles.
I do not like him.
And that show is not going to... If that is the case and Barkley's gone, you put Dray... It's going to become way more confrontational. And, I mean, obviously, Charles says stuff...
Because right now, Draymond's still in his playing career. I'm sure he'll settle down once he's...
Yeah, but I can tell you, he ain't Charles Barkley, though, man. He just that type of personality. I don't see that from Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, Barkley is a once in a generation type personality.
But did we know Barkley was going to be good?
While he
was playing, though?
Do you remember Charles? I'm not a role model. Charles, all you had to do is just look at some of Charles Barkley.
But isn't that what kind of Draymond is right
yeah,
now?
No, because I think.
Nobody knew that Charles was going to be what he is today in terms of being an incredible announcer, an incredible personality. He always obviously had a personality.
He's not an incredible announcer. He's a personality. Well, and you know he always had that.
He also is maybe the only person in sports media who can just say whatever he wants without repercussion.
Repercussion, yeah. He kind of gets away. But yeah, Barkley, if you remember any of it, anytime he got interviewed, any of his sound bites from his playing career, you always knew. And then his Nike commercials, like you could tell. Like, yeah, this guy's gonna his playing career or his career after playing is.
I don't know. I don't remember it that way. I just don't remember it thinking that it was a lock that it was going to work.
Especially, it's because I'm a Sixers fan and Charles Barkley was my favorite player, so I knew everything about Charles Barkley. Maybe I'm speaking for myself and not anyone else.
I'm just saying. Back then, it just kind of felt like, man, this guy's really rough around the edges. Like, how is that going to work in cookie cutter corporate America that's just so here? You know,
he changed that.
Not really willing to take risks.
And Draymond has a leg up because Draymond has all his experience right now, and his career is not even close to being over. Yeah. So Draymond could play another 4 or 5 years. He'll have another 4 or 5 years of doing these podcasts, and that matters when you get into that role.
Also, though, Charles definitely had a likability, which I think Draymond lacks. And so we'll see if that translates.
Barkley spit on guys and threw guys through windows. God,
and guess what? People still loved him, man. I'm telling you, I was the biggest Charles Barkley fan out there.
He wasn't
rough around the edges. You're right. He was a guy who, like, if Charles doesn't have social media, but Charles Barkley would have been Kevin Durant. Like, Charles,
responding to everyone.
Yes,
you mean?
I think he would have. Like you said, he threw a guy through a window, but because a guy came up and tried to. And talk trash to him. Charles threatens people from the TNT set. Like, if you come out to the court where I'm out there.
But now he's just big and harmless.
Big and harmless, but guess what?
Like back then he meant it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about it.
I know, Adam, you love Draymond. Chris and I are like, I respect Draymond for the player.
But Draymond,
and I'm sure he'll have
he is kind of the 2022 Charles Barkley, though. I don't think there's really. He's not an MVP of the league or anything, but in terms of. Who he is on the court, that's kind of
okay.
It's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but like you say that now, and a year ago you weren't saying that.
A Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I remember we had this conversation once, and you're like, "You think Draymond's a Hall of Famer?" We're not on the show; it's just me and you both BSing one day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little stricter for Hall of Fame.
I know, that's
most people, but I mean, I don't think there's any denying it now.
No, yeah, he's definitely.
I want to get to something that Draymond did actually say before we get to a little free agency talk and kind of wrap this up. Draymond was on J.J. Redick's podcast, another one of these new media guys, and said that the Warriors are going to win 3 of the next 4 titles. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, it's crazy. Stephen A. Smith said that they were going to win 2 of the next 3 before the finals started. And everyone on his show kind of like went on him like, why are you picking 2 of the next 3? Like, they might not even win this one, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough to beat these guys, bro. It really is. If people stay healthy, that's the only thing that they got going against them, right? Both of their two best players both have some health issues, injury history.
Steph will be 35.
3 out of 4 is incredibly difficult.
3 out of 4 is insane, but I mean, I guess maybe they could win another. Well, 3 out of 4, is he including this one? He's probably including this one, right?
I would think so.
So 2 out of the next 3.
2 out of the next 3. I don't know that that's out of the realm of possibility, though. Are you going to tell me right now that you bet money that they couldn't win 2 out of the next 3 games or championships? I don't know what.
Right now. No, I'm not. I would not bet against that.
That was Draymond wanted to know if he could
Draymond
call in.
Draymond wants to know what's up. I don't think I wouldn't bet against that, Adam, would you?
Listen, I've liked the Warriors since the start of the year. I predicted them to win.
You did?
I did. Yeah, TJ, I did.
I will
take credit because all my other picks were horrible. So I will take credit for that.
I remember Rich Eisen picking that at really the beginning of the year. Yeah. I don't
know. No, but I did, though.
Okay.
I picked the Warriors to win.
All right.
So did I.
I did not.
God damn it, TJ.
Me too.
I'll say it. I didn't.
But to win another 2, I wouldn't be completely shocked. But if I had to put my money on it, I would bet against that. Because, like you guys say, their guys are getting older. You have the Milwaukee Bucks who, to me, they would have won the East if Chris Middleton wasn't injured. And to win two more just seems, it's just so difficult to win even one, but to win another
so
two at that age, at the age that Steph's going to be, like he'd be like 36, 37 at the end of the second one, I would bet against it. I just don't think that will happen. Could it? Absolutely, but I don't think that'll happen.
You just got to think, like, all their young guys are going to be that much better. Like, Wiseman will be back. Kuminga obviously has a lot of talent. Mooney and Looney and all the Unis that they have on their team. Klay, I have to think, he definitely showed flashes that he could be the player of old, but he's going to be a whole year now back. He'll be improved. They have to be the favorite going into next year, right? I think I saw
How could they not?
They are the betting favorite, right? That is just crazy. And we mention it all the time, but I just can't stop thinking about TJ, you just being like, get it while you can.
You had to.
When this team is back, they're back.
But what
so
about,
crazy.
But what about free agency, though? Are they going to go into the luxury tax? It's going to be.
It seems like their owners don't care.
If their owners don't care, then they're
good. Already $50 million over the tax.
Are they going to lose, though? Is somebody going to just go nuts and pay Poole just an astronomical amount?
I will tell you this. I wouldn't doubt if somebody pays Looney right now. Looney?
Looney?
Looney? I wouldn't be surprised if someone pays Looney and gets him out. But then you got Wiseman there. So that's maybe a loss that they can incur that won't really throw them off too much. Poole? Maybe. Like, here's the deal, right?
Yeah,
you play for two things, I think, as an athlete, guys, and tell me if you think I'm wrong. Either you play for money, first and foremost. You play so you can set yourself up, your family up. But then you also play for championships, right? You play to be a winner. Now, athletes do one of two things. They either get the money first if they're not fortunate enough to win a title, and then after they get the money, now they can maybe put themselves in a position maybe to take less money, go to a better situation where they could win a championship. Or you get a guy who's young, wins a title early, and now it's like, yo, let's go get the bag. Maybe that's where Poole might be. He got the championship. I don't know. I think he's still around. I think he's there for another 2 years. I think you said Chris.
Well, he's max eligible right now.
Oh, right now, okay.
They could re-up him now or wait till next year.
So it just depends. I mean, you got these young guys who all got a ring now. It's like, do you want to collect more rings or do you want to get a bigger house, I think? And then
Wiggins is due for a massive contract, I believe, after next year.
Wiggins too, man. Like,
so that's a lot of luxury tax. I know that we've talked about how these owners, they say they don't care, but when you're going probably over $100 million over the luxury tax, that's tough.
Well, like I said, they already went 50. They won a championship, and the owner didn't seem to be sweating when he was getting that trophy after the game 6. He didn't seem to be sweating the fact that they were $50 million over that tax thing. So I don't know, man. Here's the deal, though. Wouldn't it be nice to not have to worry about money like that? Like, sure, go ahead, give them an extra $10 million.
Just for playing ball. All right, so let's talk some LA hoops. Westbrook obviously opts in, $47 million player option. We knew that was going to happen. But the Clippers made an interesting move, TJ. So
yes,
they have Kawhi and Paul George coming back full strength, and now it seems like they'll be adding John Wall.
Yes, indeed.
To the mix for next year. For about $6 million, as the Rockets pick up his $40+ million. How do you feel about John Wall added to the mix?
Oh, man.
You feel good about this?
I love this, and here's why.
We haven't seen him play basketball in like 8 years.
Yeah, but you've seen him. First of all, it hasn't been 8 years. It's been it's been a year and a half.
It's been about four.
But you've seen John Wall play basketball.
I have.
You know John Wall is nice.
John Wall is nice.
Okay. The thing is, throughout this year, there was a lot of talk that the Clippers might trade or, you know, various players on their team to get John Wall this season. They stood pat, and now they didn't lose any of those players, and they still got John Wall. So, one, that's a win. Two, the Rockets picked up, what, $40 million of his contract?
They picked up about 85%
okay.
of it. Yeah,
so, that's win number 1A, and the fact that we got him without giving anyone else up, that's win number maybe 1B. I wouldn't even put that at 2. That's a big deal. So now you got a guy, John Wall, career 20-point-a-game scorer, who's going to come in and play with Kawhi, Paul George, you know, Reggie Jackson, hopefully Nicholas Batum, who's staying. Now you got a John Wall who, and you know I love to put things in movie kind of terms, who doesn't have to be number one on the call sheet. Now you got a John Wall who's your third or fourth.
Four on the call sheet?
Yeah, I mean, I think
is he even going to start?
Yeah, I was going to say, is
he probably will because
I would rather have Reggie Jackson John Wall, out there. He's kind of earned it.
He's earned it, but I'm saying if you have John Wall and Reggie Jackson, all things considered, you probably start John Wall if John Wall is back healthy. But even if he's not, like even if you're not going to get, you know, 2014 John Wall.
2016.
Well, I mean, 16 was he
I'm
was
saying
just
16. He was 23 and 11.
Yeah. So even if you're not going to get that, you're still going to get a pretty good John Wall. And I'm not going to sit here and go, if he gets 15 or I don't know what he's going to get. But I know John Wall has had a year off of basketball where they basically just stashed him, right? The Rockets could have played him last year.
They didn't play. Sat out.
Sat out.
His literal line in his basketball reference page says, did not play, sat out.
So he's got a whole year. And all those injuries you talked about, like think about Clay. Think if Clay had an extra year to just get his body right. Yeah, now, Clay's an outlier because they still won the title anyway.
Right.
But you got John Wall, who sat out, gave his body a chance to heal. I'm sure he's coming back with a chip on his shoulder. He wanted to come to L.A., obviously. He wanted to come to the Clippers specifically. I'm very excited. I don't see a downside. There is literally no downside to this deal.
I don't think
so
either.
To get John Wall. And I feel like, even though I just said the Warriors are going to be hard to beat, if, and guys, obviously this is a huge if, but if they can't stay healthy, you got to imagine the Clippers are going to be right there looking at the Warriors.
I mean, they're one of the
Warriors.
They're, what, 7-1 or something to win the title, Adam? And I was thinking about this morning. If John Wall, just play him with the second unit. If he comes in and gives you 15-7, a steal or two a night, I think that is best case scenario. And it gives you guys, Clippers, such an awesome second unit leader. And then maybe if there's an injury or something, you put him in the starting lineup and he can get you 28 a night.
I think say worst case scenario there. I think 15 is like a worst case scenario. I think John Wall could get you 15 just by showing up.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, but like we haven't seen him play. Like he's played 40 games in 3 years. So, I mean, in all honesty, we don't know what John Wall is going to look like. But if you throw him with the second unit, 15-7, 8, something like that. I mean, the guy's a 9-assist career for his career. I just think it's a huge win for – and you don't have to deal with Kyrie Irving and the headaches that all of that surrounds you, you know, if you go in that direction.
Yeah, the thing with John Wall is he can be the leader of that second unit. And I could see this guy winning Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah,
I could see him leading that second unit.
Totally.
But then
the
also,
Clippers have a stranglehold on the Sixth Man of the Year award too. So yeah, you might not be far off there, Adam.
That could be his new role. And then besides being the Sixth Man, the Clippers can do a death lineup in the fourth quarter where he plays in the fourth quarter. Him, Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Kawhi, and maybe if they want to go small, like Batum is their biggest guy. All those guys can shoot from three. Yep. That could be the death lineup that kills teams at the end of those close games. So yeah. I think Wall was a tremendous signing.
I'm excited about this, guys.
You're right. No drama with Kyrie. Obviously, Kyrie is the better player.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have a past all-star, past superstar, and you're getting him for cheap.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Basically nothing.
For basically nothing.
Especially when you count Ballmer's dollars, that's basically nothing.
I was just going to say, count to 10, Ballmer just made $6 million.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Boom. Ballmer just made $6 million.
Man, must be nice.
He's richer than all of us. Yes.
Must be nice. And so, Zubac is back. He's going to sign Zoo.
And basically, and a very nice deal. 3 years, 33. Yep. You know.
I like Terrence Mann coming off the bench also. Yep.
Really I think is going to find himself starting, though.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
But too much talent. I'd much rather have an overabundance, obviously, of talent than
it's a good problem.
It's a great problem to have. But I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I have been a Clippers fan, hardcore season ticket holder.
Something's going to go wrong.
Since 1999. And something tells me. And Chris, you know, when I first started on the show 2 years ago, I gave you guys a breakdown every year what went wrong in the playoffs with these guys, the freak injuries. So as a Clipper fan, I'm kind of like a beaten dog a little bit. Like, I'm nervous and I don't want to get my expectations up too high. But it's exciting and I'm looking forward to. The season just ended and I'm already like, I can't wait for the season to start.
Right. All right, before we get out of here, Adam, what do you want the Bulls to do in free agency?
There are rumors today about Mo Bamba. And that's our favorite song we play before every podcast.
So we got to let you guys know real quick. I play that. We play Sheck West Mo Bamba every time before the show starts. And as right before we get to like the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown, we'll stop it. But like Mo Bamba's our unofficial anthem here.
I mean, that's pretty much the reason I want the Bulls to get him, just so I can play that song nonstop every game. every Bulls game, Bamba. I'll play that song before. But in all honesty, I legitimately do want the Bulls to get him. The Bulls need better front court defense. That guy is perfect for that fit right there. He's great at blocking shots. And Mo Bamba's sneakily good at shooting threes. I think he shot like 38% last year. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a sneaky good three-point shooter. Him with pick and rolls with either DeRozan or Zach, who apparently the Bulls will be signing to a max contract. Apparently that's the report. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Bulls have told him that they will sign him once free agency starts, which I'm happy about.
Yeah. Zach LaVine, that's 24 a game, man.
Walking bucket, right?
Yeah. Hopefully, the obvious concern with Zach is the injuries. He's dealt with injuries his whole career. But at this point, he's still young. He still is a 25 point a game scorer, and there's really no other better option for the Bulls. So it makes sense to sign him to a max deal. I'm happy about it. And so, yeah, if we got Mo Bamba, the original thing was trading for Gobert. And the Bulls were supposed to trade Vucevic and a pick and then possibly Patrick Williams. And I did not want the Bulls to trade Patrick Williams.
I love Patrick Williams.
Yeah. I might be biased because he's on my team, but I just see the potential for him. And the comparison is Kawhi. Who knows if we'll ever get to that level? That's very hard.
Tranquilo.
That is hard for him to live up to that. But that's the player that I see with Patrick Williams. He's still a kid. He's like 20, 21 years old. Plays great defense. He just needs to be more aggressive. He's so passive last year in his rookie year. He needs to understand that he can be a great player. And so he needs to be more assertive next year. And I love Patrick Williams. So I did not want the Bulls to give up him for Gobert. Gobert is a great player, but I believe that Mo Bamba can be a similar type guy where maybe he won't be as good as Rudy Gobert, but he can fill that role for the Bulls. And so, yeah, I'd love to get Mo Bamba.
TJ, what do you think of these PJ Tucker Philly rumors?
Are they rumors now? I thought it was he didn't officially sign yet.
It's not okay. Nobody can really sign yet.
That's true. What am I talking about? Embiid wants him. Seems like he wants to come there. And from what I saw, it was like a 3-year deal for about $33 million what they were offering.
Yeah, 30-33.
So look, $10 million to get a guy who's won a ring, who's a dog. Who, you know, like I've always said to you, Chris, you know, we bring up the Patrick Beverley thing and I kind of explain to you like who Patrick Beverley is. Like if Kevin Garnett wasn't 7'1" and had the perfect basketball body and a little less talent, he'd be Patrick Beverley. You know, just you need like dogs like that, like guys who are just going to like lay it all, put it all on the line. And PJ Tucker is proven one of those guys. Look, he's not a guy who's going to get you 10 points a game. Like, just not. But he'll get you rebounds and he'll play defense. And those are the things that are kind of necessary to win championships, you know? So, yeah, I'm happy for that. move
yeah.
for them.
Yeah. Celtics, too. I love the roster. Obviously, they're, you know, very close to an NBA championship. Maybe just add maybe one more kind of big wing who can shoot threes. I'd see their link to Gallinari and or maybe TJ Warren, who's kind of been battling injuries the last couple of years.
But that's a shame,
but
man.
But I do like him as a player.
TJ was so – remember bubble TJ Warren?
I know. He was nice.
It was great. And
I
then
know, he was nice. Yeah. But somebody like that who can defend mm-hmm. and then maybe knock down some threes, you know, give you 15 minutes a night, maybe pour in a couple of buckets, maybe 10 points. That's kind of what I would love to see.
Look, I don't want to see Celtics get any
other
better,
than that,
man.
Let's get Robert Williams healthy. Let's get everybody healthy and well rested.
I don't want to see these Celtics get better.
Let's see Tatum take some time off, get his body fully healed. The guy played 2,700 playoff minutes in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And he was in the
Olympics.
The Olympics. Was it last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Last summer.
Yeah, so he did. Well, I was talking about last 5 years in the playoffs. But, yes, in the last year, he's been playing basketball for 11 straight months. So I would like him to take some time off.
He went
off.
On one of those LeBron tours, right?
Yeah, I would like him to really just take some time off, let that body heal.
So you're okay with him not shooting a basketball for 2 months?
If he doesn't want to pick up a basketball, he wants to go full Anthony Davis and not pick up a ball for 2 months,
cool
I
with
am
you.
Totally fine with that. Jaylen Brown, on the other hand, he better be doing 8 hours of dribbling drills every single day.
Bob Cousy needs to
That's
get in the gym
about.
With him.
Get the Cous out there and have him run around and do some drills. All right. All right, everybody. So we're going to wrap this up. We are off next week. We're taking a week off for the 4th. But we will back there after to catch you guys up on everything that went down during NBA free agency, any big deals. And then we'll head into the summer and do some fun things. So,
and good luck to all the young men who got drafted on draft day, man.
Yes, that was, I know it, we didn't talk much didn't about that, talk, but it's just, Powell going number one was definitely a shock. So good luck to those guys in summer league.
Oklahoma City getting 2 Jalen Williams, you know, so they could do the Spider-Man meme together. That's great. But it's just one of those things, just like the NFL draft. You see these guys, you see the emotion, you realize that you're watching people whose lives are about to change. And it's just, I don't know, for me, and I think you guys agree, it's just kind of beautiful to get
really
to sit
cool.
and watch that stuff.
It's really cool. Yeah. Chet Holmgren had that giant dice chain. That was pretty cool.
Paulo, I mean, they all were rocking
the
ice, you know.
Hopefully he's eating a cheeseburger right now.
He better.
All right, everybody, enjoy the beginning of the summer.
Happy 4th.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Happy 4th. Peace out.
Later.